For good, conservative, theologically sound Bible books, commentaries, and teaching materials. Conservative Theological University has about 6,000 titles and about 120,000 volumes available. Shop today at conservative.edu. Scroll down to Bookstore, browse, and place your order today. That's conservative.edu and scroll to Bookstore. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Today we've got a very serious theological doctrinal question that we're asking. It begs to be answered. I'd love to hear from you, your theological persuasion on the subject. And we're just before the news break, we've gotten to the point of talking. And by the way, the subject is, the issue is, after the cross, did Jesus go to hell or did he go directly to heaven? I'm looking at an article written by an individual. It says, when Jesus died, he went to the blessed side of Sheol, or paradise. Some believe, based on a particular interpretation of Ephesians 4, 8 through 10, that Jesus took believers with him to Sheol, to another place of bliss that we now call heaven. More likely, Ephesians 4 refers to the ascension of Christ. So, just before the news break, we'd ask Brother Ken to address that. Is there a holding tank? Is there a place where people go to as an intermediary before you go to heaven or before you go to hell? What is the answer to that? There's some that say so. And it's based on the Apostles' Creed. And the Apostles' Creed says that Jesus died on the cross, he was buried, and descended into hell. And we've already talked about the fact that it's a misunderstanding, misinterpretation of the word Sheol and Hades. Old Testament, New Testament, Sheol and Hades, simply translated, talks about that place called the grave. Not talking about Tartarus or Gehenna, that place of fire and brimstone that a person goes to when he dies and he's lost. Brother Ken, what say you? What are some of the thoughts you have that you'd add to what we've said that would be the benefit and the blessing and a challenge to our listeners?
Well, what I would say is, when we look at these two distinct areas, perhaps people look back, and again, Pastor, it's so critical that we rightly divide the word of truth.
Amen.
And not be approved of our peers, but be approved by God as a workman, rightly dividing the word of truth. I don't know of a greater judgment and punishment in the Bible than someone that perpetuates wrong teachings or perversions of the Word of God.
Right.
Teaching of the Word of God. So this is a very solemn, sober discussion and the way that we handle the Bible and truth of the Bible. But I think that people probably look back to Luke 16 and they see Abraham's bosom in this parable, if you will, of the rich man that he gave, where the rich man was in torment. There was a great gulf fixed. There was in Abraham's bosom, the Lazarus, and there was no passing from one to the other. And I believe that may be the source of some of the ideas that are out in the public and in the discussions about are there two areas and a holding place. But distinct things that we can see there, that paradise is one and torment and hell's fire is the other, and there's no changing of your eternal destiny once you reach that place after physical death. Again, I think where some of this false teaching comes from is, I believe it's Psalm 16 and Acts 2, where Peter quotes back and says that his soul was not left in hell, speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ.
That was in Acts chapter 2, verse 31. Exactly right, and that's a good kickoff point, if you will, because when you look at the Scripture, a lot of people want to dissect and to divide that place called heaven. It is called the bosom of Abraham. It's called the New Jerusalem. It's the new heaven. It is that place called heaven. It is that place that when a person dies that's already said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, there is no intermediary place that you go before you go to heaven. The Apostle Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He gained a new location, a new home. That's a place called heaven. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. It is that place called heaven is immediate place after the person that said yes to Jesus. When he dies, he goes to heaven. He doesn't go to an intermediary. Now, here's the problem, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. What say you? What are your thoughts in relationship to it? Do you believe that there's a holding tank, as I call it, an intermediary place before you get to heaven or before you get to hell? And as Brother Ken spoke of just a moment ago, Luke chapter 16, a wonderful study from verse 19 to verse 31, right page, right and left column, both in my Bible. And as we look at that, it's not talking about the rich man going to hell because he's rich. Not talking about Lazarus going to heaven because he's poor. That's not the point. One had trusted in Christ. But the bottom line is, Brother Ken, and you touched on it, the rich man was saying, listen, Lord, I've got five brothers. They're on their way to this place called hell. Can you send somebody to warn them before it's too late? And what was told to them? No, if they will not believe the preachers and the prophecies and the Scripture, they'll not believe if somebody comes back from the dead. And he wasn't trying to talk with him on the basis of, well, we want to get you out of that holding tank. We want to do something so that they can miss hell and go to heaven some way. That is not the case, and it goes back to a right hermeneutic. When we teach hermeneutics in the college and the university classroom, we're talking about the art and science of biblical interpretation. That's the definition of hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is the thing that is so needed, so vital, that I believe, Brother Ken, is so missing today. We have many pastors that are going to preach what they call preaching the truth, many pastors that believe what they're saying because of what others have said. I'll give you an illustration of that, ladies and gentlemen. Less than 100 years ago, when my first journey through the book of Revelation, it talked about the seven spirits standing before the throne. And it's talking about the seven spirits, that is the living creatures, the living beings, the angelic beings, the seven ones that's going to pour out the bowls of wrath, etc., etc. But I got to that point, and I went to try to do some word study, and I had 29 books at the time. This has been 40, 50 years ago. 29 books on the book of Revelation, commentaries, and writings, and word studies. And I looked at all of them. They're saying it's talking about the sevenfold manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And they referred back to Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2 and following. And so I went to those, and I looked at the date, and I lined up those books based on date order, publishing date order. And I found that all of them would refer back to a previous writer, a previous writer, a previous writer. None of them went back to the Word of God to analyze in context what the words were saying. And so as a result of that, I said, Lord, I'm not preaching any further on this text till I have a full grasp on what he's talking about. And in the Bible itself, in the book of Revelation itself, there are eight other verses that validate it's talking about the seven spirit beings, zoos, angelic beings, that has the bowls of wrath in their hand, etc., etc., waiting until the Lord Jesus says, pour out your wrath, blow your trumpet, etc., etc. So it's very vital, ladies and gentlemen, that we study the Word, know the Word. And again, I go back to many, many, many years ago, a man that had been teaching the Bible and had written 57 books on biblical subjects, Dr. Lockyer. I had the privilege of having him in my car as he was doing a seminar, and I was taking him back home. And I looked over at him, and he's about 6'6 in his height, snow white beard, jet black eyebrows, and black horn rimmed glasses. And I said, "Dr. Lockyer, what would you advise a young preacher that is about half your age?" You very gently, very easily, very slowly, he picked his Bible up off his right knee, placed it over on his left knee, and with a aged hand, picked the Bible up slightly, and there was just trembling. He said, "No, this book. No, this book." And the third time, "No, this book." Put it back on his lap. That's the statement that I give to everybody today, is know the book. Amen. Not know the Apostles' Creed, not know what somebody said about it, but look at what the book says. And so with that question being asked and stated, what do we find? What is the purpose of that place called hell? It is simply God designed for Satan and his angels, angelos, messengers, followers. But men, listen, in Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, the Bible says, "But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars shall find their place in the lake of fire, the lake of fire which burneth with fire and brimstone." That's talking about hell. That's talking about the place that a lost person goes. Jesus didn't fall into the category of unbelieving, abominable, murderers, fearful, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters. So why would Jesus go to hell? It's an impossibility to place that into a coherent position of saying that's what he did. Dr. Phelps, what say you?
Well, the great truths that we have from scriptures relating to that, again, is Luke chapter 23. Mm-hmm. Here is a man on death row who didn't know what the future held, but Jesus said to him, after he called upon him in a very special way, he said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom."
Amen.
And here's a man who called upon the name of the Lord, and I believe he was saved as a result of calling upon the Lord.
Right.
So here's my comment today. Hell is a place of death, mm-hmm. of debauchery and darkness and so forth.
Yes.
It's a place of suffering. But the main thing today is that you are prepared for paradise.
Right.
This man who was on death row is now prepared. And there are some changes that need to be made in order for us to be prepared for paradise. And one of those is that we receive the truth of the Word of God, the truth of the gospel. After we receive the truth, then the Bible speaks of a change that happens when we believe the truth in our hearts. God changes us. It's a change called repentance. So we need to be changed, and that is the only way for us then to anticipate or hope for paradise. If we're going to have hope for paradise, then we need to have the change effective in our lives. As a result of hearing and receiving the truth of the gospel, we can respond in repentance, and God will then put our names in the book of life.
Amen. Well, Dr. Davis, I'm looking at Psalm 16, 10 and 11, and it's translated from the King James text. "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." Dr. Phelps touched on that a little earlier. And this fact that we need to look at is the, as one writer put it, let me read what one writer says, "Unfortunately, in many versions of the Bible," notice now, many versions of the Bible, "translators are not consistent, not correct, in how they translate the Hebrew and Greek words for Sheol, Hades, and hell." Talk to that for a moment, why it's so important. If you say Sheol and Hades, generally speaking, the overwhelming majority of times in the King James Bible, it is talking about the grave. It is not talking about that place of fire and brimstone. Speak to that, why it's so important for us to understand the word study.
Well, I mean, going back to what all of us have already said, you know, in all of the circles that we've spoken in concerning this subject today, You know, when you look at Sheol, it's the place of the souls of the dead, both the righteous and the wicked. Now, we have to understand that. Now, here's what I got, a good scripture here. When we look at Jacob speaking about it in Genesis chapter 37, verse 35, once again, that's Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to look at the interpretation of the day. Mm-hmm. So now, 1 Samuel chapter 28, verses 13 and 14, when David's son died, he said, I can't go, he cannot come back to me, but I have to go to him. Now, again, we're talking about the grave. We're not speaking about hell within itself, because when we look at hell, and I believe I have the correct interpretation here, when I go to Revelation chapter 20, verses 12 through 15 said, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. Mm-hmm. So now, here's part of the answer to clear up some of what we're talking about. Some are hell, because it says here, death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them.
Mm-hmm.
So this is telling me death has a grip, a hold on the unregenerate or the unsaved, those who have not, and this is what this is speaking about, and hell also, speaking about
the grave,
mm-hmm. has a hold on those, mm-hmm. and they are reserved in that place until, watch this, and they will judge every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're talking about
death,
hell.
Death and the grave cast into fire.
That's mm-hmm. not happened yet.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
This is future.
Future tense, but it's talking about those that are lost. Because in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, it's called the Great White Throne Judgment, because it's the judge, the Lord Jesus Christ, that's carrying out the judgment that is in that text that is before us.
So that was basically my point.
Yes.
I mean, basically, the judgment, the final judgment has not happened yet. So we have to realize God has things set in order to take care of anyone that died in their sins, unregenerate, and also to judge all evil,
mm-hmm.
reserved to the great day of the final judgment, and then all of those will be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone.
One of the things we need to look at, too, for clarification for our listeners, I know what you're saying, but some listeners might have some conflicting thoughts with that. In Revelation chapter 20, we look at the Bible chronologically. This is in the last of the last days that we see in this whole world. And the dead that have died without Christ, referring to Hades, Sheol, death and hell, the grave. But the ones that are standing there, when a person dies right now, they're lost. They go to hell. But this is where they are ultimately judged to determine the degrees of punishment in hell.
Amen.
Just as we have degrees of reward and things that are given to us in heaven, based on Matthew chapter 24 and chapter 25, we find that. We find that there's a reason to understand what we're talking about is that there's going to be that ultimate final day. And you see in the Revelation 20 text, the books were open. That's the book of life, the book of living, and the book of life that the names are written down. Those that are saved, the names are already written down in the book of life. Those that are lost will be ultimately judged and cast into hell and punished based on what they have or have not done. And the authoritative book on that is the book of life, the book of living, called the Bible. In fact, I made a note in my Bible, the book of the law, that's the Bible, is open. The book of living, that's the works that are done. And the book of life, that's for the saved. Those books are open, and the books are open there to show that lost person, your name's not written down. This is what you've done, and this is your punishment. That telephone number, ladies and gentlemen, is 904-831-0917. I believe Brother Davis is on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Youngblood. And gentlemen, it's in this round table discussion. I don't believe that a child of God that has trusted in Jesus Christ as his personal Savior is going to be one of those that stand before the great white throne judgment. We get our reward when we make our confession that Christ died for us, and he said he come and he bring reward with him. I believe we get our reward before as a Christian.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, if I can jump in for a moment, Brother Davis, you're 100% correct. Because when a Christian dies, he goes through the great white throne, does not go through the great white throne judgment, but the judgment of Christ, the Bema Seat judgment. And that's two things that the Christian does after death, the Bema Seat judgment and the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then we return, Revelation 19, chapter 19, verse 11 through 16, we return with the Lord Jesus Christ. You're right. This is the judgment of the lost, the great white throne judgment. There will not be a Christian standing there. The book of life is opened, where it has written down everyone that's saved, to show that one that's standing there before the judge of the universe to say, your name is not written down. You're right.
Thank you. I know I've been taught that all my life, and I'm going to stick with that.
Yes, sir. I'm thankful for that fact that we can stand on. Absolutely, brother. Thank you, and God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. I've got another little bit here that I want to lay before us as we think of this question. This writer, looking at an article that's correct on this statement, Jesus Christ did not go to hell. Jesus' suffering ended the moment he died. Then awaiting the resurrection of his body and the return to glory in his ascension, Jesus did not go to hell. Jesus did not go to hell. He went to Sheol, the grave, and that was the end of the story for this writer. So, Brother Ken, do some footnote addition, dissipating. Give us some footnotes to that. Let me, before you do that, say, recommend our listeners. Got two books before me. One is That Place Called Heaven, The Believer's Eternal Home, that I had the privilege of publishing just a couple of years ago. It's not a massive book. It's about 150 pages. And the companion to that is Please Don't Go to Hell. It's the biblical doctrine of that place called hell. Hell is a real place. Hell is an eternal place. Hell is a place of debauchery. Hell is a place of decrying. And hell is a place of desperation. Hell is a place that is eternal, just as that place. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, everything that you find about heaven and its being eternal, hell is also eternal. And we need to understand that. And so when we talk about Jesus dying and going to hell, it is the thought that somehow, somewhere, there's a holding tank or an intermediary place. Brother Ken, what say you as some footnotes to what we've said today and what we need to take away from our study and our thoughts?
Well, I'd like to present this, that context. While we look at units of thoughts and chapters and mm-hmm. verses and books of the Bible, the Bible is such an amazing book that written over millenniums, it all fits together cohesively when you take all of the correct interpretation individually of books and chapters and units of thoughts. All of them fit together. The unique thing about the Old Testament is that we see the building foundation blocks of spiritual truth in types and shadows. And I think hell, eternal judgment, the lake of fire, is all firmly rooted in Old Testament. And that we get back to the Valley of Gehenna is, I think, that great physical picture, the type, the
yes.
physical type
mm-hmm.
of the eternal resting place of those that reject, ultimately, Jesus Christ and his salvation. It's interesting, as you go through the Old Testament with this concept of the Valley of Hinnom, it's also called the site of the child sacrifice in the Kings. In Jeremiah, it's graduated into a valley of slaughter, where Jeremiah did his great act where he dropped the jar. That's an interesting study. The undying worm in Isaiah 66, the everlasting contempt. There's a building blocks laying in place all the major places and parts and pieces of this eternal judgment. And then Jesus comes along, and he's the great revealer of spiritual truth, divine truth, and makes it fully clear that this place, this trash heap, the Valley of Hinnom, where all the city's garbage was dumped, fires were kept burning there 24/7 to consume the waste. And that's where criminals were provided their proper burial. The worms were there in that organic decomposition, the waste and the carcasses, and they were constantly present, which Jesus said the worm dies not. And then it's a prophetic symbol. It was the metaphor of that final fiery punishment for the wicked. So Jesus takes this real geographical place, pictures it as this smoldering, maggot-infested, cursed valley right outside the city walls. But he transcended that and his hearers understood it was no longer just a physical reality, but it was a spiritual destiny for those that rejected his salvation. And I think that's the genius of the Bible.
Amen. Amen.
But I have to believe, Dr. Youngblood, and that's very good, Brother Ken, that you just got finished saying. Here's what I get from all of that. That is a great revelation to help us to understand how severe judgment will be. It's warning us that we don't want to go there.
Amen. Amen. Absolutely.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Absolutely. Let me read a couple of verses, and then I'll toss it over to Dr. Phelps to wrap us up today. In Ephesians, many of these false theology, false doctrines that's so perpetuated today about Jesus going to hell, comes from these verses in part. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. Now that he, speaking of Jesus, ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And that filling all things goes back to a reference to Philippians chapter 2, verse 8 and following. But he that ascended, speaking about Jesus, is also the one that descended into the grave. It's not talking about a place called hell. There's no way you can use this verse as a nexus to say somehow, some way that Jesus went to hell. And I say that, Dr. Phelps, because one writer puts it this way. He says, so Jesus had to go to the lower parts of the earth to fulfill the things for our salvation, and then he rejoined God in heaven. That's a fabricated lie. Nothing to that would be a nexus in any verses in the scripture. So what do you say to our listeners as a final wrap-up thought today?
One of the things I like to emphasize, as I did before, is the necessity of being prepared for paradise.
Mm-hmm.
Paradise is where Jesus is.
That's right.
We're going to go to be with him. And that's exactly what Jesus did when he left the cross. He went to be with the Father. His body was in the grave, but he was raised. But one of the things we need to be sure of is that we're prepared. Amen. We need the change of fellowship. Right now, are you in fellowship with the Lord? If we remain unrepentant, then we will not be prepared.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted you joined us down. Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships.